Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting. I love that.
Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. We're done. Drop the mic.
Hi, everybody. This is Ellen.
And Anissa.
And this is?
Anissa and Ellen Raw.
We feeling good?
I'm feeling great.
I'm smiling big. Brian just told us to stop breathing in the microphone.
Breathing heavy. We're steaming up the windows.
Completely
be in the backseat of the car.
Aware of that. Breathing. He says for us to back off when we're just listening.
What do they call that? Like a mouth breather or so heavy something? I don't know.
I do it at the gym. When I'm testing my mic, I'll go,
do you really?
I see you. Oh. Yeah, it's a joke. Well, I try to adjust the volume up because sometimes the volume is up so loud and then you put it on and your music starts and you start talking and then it blows everybody out.
So I'm a terrible mic person. I adjust the volume of the mic like a bazillion times during class
because
I feel like it's too loud. It's too much Anissa.
And then it's too much.
Well, now they can't hear me. And then I turn it. They must be like, what the hell?
I know. I'm constantly adjusting.
Constantly.
I know.
So we have another instructor.
Melissa's an instructor, but let me just say this is going to be so interesting for me because, not for me, to me, because I have been married for so long and if I got a divorce or something happened and I had to go date now, I have no clue what I would do.
That could be like a total reality show. Ellen goes on a date.
No, Melissa, the reality show would be Melissa. So Melissa Lane is back with us.
Yes.
And I love this topic.
This was after our first time she came on. She said, what we need to have the conversation about.
And I love it.
People are not talking about it.
Exactly. And I love it because we do have a lot. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are divorced or some have not married.
Never been married. Yeah. Yep.
So today's episode is about like dating
later in life.
Yeah. So Melissa's going to chat about it. And so, of course, Anissa, you've been married for 5 years.
I'm coming up on my 5th year anniversary with my 3rd husband, though. So every time I say that,
Brian,
cuddle monster over there. Every time I say it, he cannot contain himself. I remember the first time I said it. His eyes got as big as
well. That's because I said like Anissa's been married 2 times, and Melissa goes, "Nope, three." And I was like,
and Brian was like, "What?" Yeah. So So I have a little bit of experience in and actually I would say the 3rd time especially because when I was entering the dating scene again, I kind of met a lot of other women that were also early 40s that were also in this dating scene, and it's very interesting.
I'm gonna let you guys go and I'm gonna put my 2 cents worth in. Yes.
Dating in Atlanta is a challenge, especially in your 40s and 50s, even in your 30s, because I've done it all. I didn't get married the first time till I was 39. And I married someone that I met on Match, and it lasted 5 years. And everybody goes, "Oh, so Match does work." Well, did you hear me when I said it lasted 5 years? But he was a good guy, and I think just both of us wanted different things. And divorce was very amicable, so I didn't come out of it with a bad attitude. And both of us went back online and started dating online right away. So it didn't leave a bad taste in our mouth, but I've been on and off dating sites. September was 10 years being divorced, and I've been in one serious relationship. So
what
in
do
the
you
last
think,
10 years?
In the last 10 years.
So what
like
both
if you had to
you.
Name like the top three things that you think, or I don't even know if you even have to do that. Like, what do you think are some of the biggest obstacles?
In Atlanta, one of the biggest obstacles is the distance.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm a little bit geographically undesirable.
I like how Brian's like pointing. Brian, yes.
However, I am willing to drive. I realize when you live where I live, 30 miles outside the perimeter, I have to come towards the perimeter. Then you look at traffic. If I want to go out to dinner with somebody who lives in Sandy Springs, which is exactly 30 miles from my house, and we want to meet at 6:30, I need to leave my house at 4 to make sure, you know, right. I'm not late. So I think distance. I think the last time I saw the statistics, there are 11 females for every one male in Atlanta. So it's like an online candy store for men that never closes. So they never really have to be on, and don't get me wrong, everything I say about men tonight, I'm sure there are women out there that are doing the same exact thing
right.
that men are doing. So I'm not picking on men because I really like men. But there's 11 women for every one man. So men really can say, well, we had a bad third date. I'm not going to give it a fourth. I'm just going to go see what else I can find. Or, you know, no one in their 50s that's dating online, I don't want to date anyone with baggage. I got news for you. If you're in your 50s and you're dating online, you got right. baggage mm-hmm. of some sort. So it's who's crazy are you willing to put up with? And so I think just the multitude of options out there is a negative. And plus, with all the social media and Instagram and scrolling things and swiping, like we were talking about earlier, every single dating site has now come to a swipe except for one that I know of. So you swipe and there's always another one right behind it. So it doesn't really make you want to put in the time and effort to get to know somebody. So those are probably the three biggest challenges in my mind.
What about, and okay, so I've been married for 28 years.
So you were how old when you got married?
I know. I was 20. I was, gosh, how old was I? 21, something like that. Yeah. So I was fairly young. What about being set up on a blind date with the friend who maybe you trust and they say, oh, I've got this great guy. And I mean, does that happen very often nowadays?
I mean, I met Rob through a friend, but it wasn't like I was set up.
Right.
So I don't know about that, but I will say this, that when I was, first of all, what they call when you get divorced, you're called fresh out. That's what it's called. So when you're fresh out, all of the people who aren't fresh out. Yeah, you're fresh out. They say, oh, he's fresh out. What that means is he's going to be, or she, very eager to connect, or because they've either been in a marriage too long mm-hmm. that's been needed to be done, or they've just been wounded if they were left by their spouse. So they're fresh out. They're a mess, right?
Right.
So that's one of the terms that you'll hear. Oh, they're fresh out. And you kind of like laugh about, oh, but he's so great. The first guy you meet when you're fresh out, or, oh, but she's just this, or she's paying attention to me. My wife hasn't paid attention to me in 10 years. And now there's a woman who wants to have sex with me. Are you kidding? She wants to have sex with me. I've been watching my, you know, ex parade in a G-string in front of me to get dressed, but I can't touch her. You know, so you have all of these different things, but I found the group that I was palling around with, and we would go actually to this place up in Alpharetta called Sage at the time. That's where I met my husband. It was like where all of the divorcees went on Thursday nights for dancing. So I just went, I'm like, oh, this will be fun. I'll go dancing. Well, after about the third week, maybe fourth week of going to Sage, I'm like, okay, I'm so done with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how long have you guys been coming here? They're like, I don't know, 2.5 years or whatever. I'm like, 2.5 years to do what? And they're like, and then I would hear, oh, don't date him. I dated him. Or don't date. It's so incestuous. Ugh. They all have dated each other. It's like, and then after they dated, then the other one would be dating. It was so I didn't stay. Rob and I kind of started dating not too long after I met him, but I couldn't do it. It was just way too incestuous and way too drama and catty. And it was like being in high school only with 40. I mean, there, some of the women would meet a man, and when he got up to go to the restroom, they were on his LinkedIn. They
really?
Wanted to, yes. They wanted to know what he did for a living.
Wow.
They wanted to know, you know, were there three letters, C-E something, C-suite after his name, mm-hmm. what his qualification. I mean, these are the kinds of things that these women in their early 40s were doing. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And then you hear the men say that had that were fresh out or had already been divorced. Well, I'm not taking care of another woman. I did that. I'm paying alimony. I'm not doing that. So then they've got the, they want someone, you know, they're in their late 40s or 50s. They want to date someone in their 30s, mm-hmm. but they don't want them to have young children.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or if they don't have children, they don't want to have children. Mm-hmm. And they want them to be well established, have an amazing career. Okay, if she's in 35, has older children or no children, and has a great career, why in the world would she be dating someone who's almost 50? You are exactly. out of your yeah. mind. You as a man are asking for something that does not exist. Because if there's a 30-something-year-old woman wanting you at 55 because you just pulled up to the club in your Viper,
yeah.
which why are you driving the Viper if you don't want people to date you for your car? But I'm saying that there's a whole disconnect in this idea of use them. You're there to get something from somebody. Nobody's connecting.
No.
That was my experience, at least. So
tell us about some of the guys that you have dated that have...
Well, my best friend from high school who lives in Alpharetta did introduce me to a guy who saw me on Facebook, and we went out once, and he talked about himself all night long, mm-hmm. which I get sometimes when you're nervous, that happens. So I thought, gonna give it a go. We're gonna go out again. I mean, it wasn't like it was a totally bummer of a night. Went out the second time again. He'd tell me a story and I'd try and say something about myself, and then he would try and one-up it. And so I went out with her for cocktails one night, and she said, "So how'd it go?" And I said, "Well, tell me, what did he say?" And he said, she said that he said he had a really great time. And my best friend looked at him and said, "Oh, you talked about her travel and her rescue dogs?" And he went, "Huh?" And she went, "Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. She didn't get a chance to tell you about her travel and her rescue dogs, did she?" And he went, "No, we didn't talk about that." Well, that's a big part of my life. And that's basically what I get 90% of the time. 9 out of 10 guys at the end of the night don't know how I stumbled into my career, which relative I lost that made me so into nutrition, and why. Mm-hmm. Don't know about the dog rescue thing. And I don't think they even get it.
That's so interesting. I think about, I mean, you know, you run across people on the daily that you can tell they hear what you're saying, but they don't listen to what you're saying, you know? So we've talked about this where I try very hard to like focus, and I love asking people about themselves and like learning about themselves or whatever it is that they're doing. So to potentially, you know, go out with somebody who could potentially be the love of your life, or who, I mean, there are probably more men like that. And I'm just making a general statement. I don't know this for sure. But for 90% of the guys that you've gone out with to be so self-absorbed and so not even, like, that just baffles me, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, so what are they looking for? What do they want? Are they just...
Well, they
just
want somebody to listen to them.
Yeah.
What's so funny is one of the guys that I went out with a couple of times we've stayed friends on Facebook, and he posted something. He's still dating online. He posted something on Facebook about his biggest pet peeve was women who post photos that are not up to date, which I totally get. Mm-hmm. Men do it too, and I'm sure women do it, as he said. And then he wrote, single women, what's your biggest pet peeve? And I commented, men who talk about themselves all night long. And within a few minutes, he's like, uh-oh, I think that might be me. And I'm like, all right, first step is admitting you have a problem. You know, what does it take for when I say, so where did you grow up? Does your family still live there? After you answer that question,
you say,
what about you? Where did you grow up? Are your family, is your family still there? And you don't get that. I went out with a guy once, same thing. First night he talked about himself, but we had a lot in common. He was really into fitness. So again, I chalked it up to nerves. I went out with him a second time. After the second time, he said, you know, I've had a really good time these past two dates. I think we should date just each other. And I looked at him and I went, how many siblings do I have?
Right.
And he went, I don't know. And I said, if we were dating, where would we go for Christmas? And he went, I don't know. And I said, well, that's because you really didn't ask me anything about myself.
Right.
And then he launches into why he didn't ask me anything about myself. And so we're back on him again.
Uh-huh.
And so that's...
And what was the reason, if you can remember?
It was something about how he gets nervous and he gets into telling a story and it just rolls and he doesn't stop to think about the other person. And that at this point, I wanted so bad to say, well, that means you probably don't think about the other person when other things are going on in life either.
And you actually, even by pointing that out to him, the next thing out of his mouth should have been, so where would we go for Christmas?
Bingo. Yeah. Yeah.
How many siblings do you
have? You have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, you teed it up. All he had to do was swing the freaking golf club and it was on the fairway.
Right.
Right? I mean, you teed it up.
And I'll give you another example. Started talking to a guy online, gave him my number. We started texting and got to the point where finally he said, you know, do you want to meet? And I said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I get the feeling that you're not really interested in me. And he said, oh, I think you're very attractive from your photos. And I said, that's not what I meant.
Right.
We've been texting for almost a month now. And when I mention I'm away on business, you don't ask me what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So called it quits. And then we saw each other on another dating site that was a little bit more specific. And I said, hey, do you want to try again? He said, yeah, I really would. Guess what? Same thing. At some point I dropped, I'm in Chicago on business. Well, what about next weekend? I'm in Chicago again. At this point, most people would have said, what do you do that takes you to Chicago so often? Nothing. So the last text I got from him was, hi, Melissa. I just wanted to reach out. I have a really bad sinus infection. I hope you're doing well. Delete.
I know. On this face.
I cannot imagine. Social graces aside.
Right.
As I guess someone who small talk is very uncomfortable for me, even though we do this, this is very different for me, but I don't, you know, I have an introvertive side. I actually love to ask questions of people because I know that at least is going to keep the conversation. But what happens is being an introvert, once I start asking the questions, I actually become interested and I'm no longer thinking about the awkward I feel in the moment because I'm actually very excited that I met this person, or I'm thinking, oh, you're a nutcase and I want to get away from this person. But either way, I'm not self-conscious anymore about my awkwardness. And I just don't. I'm baffled. How can someone have so little? Do you think it's just the swiping or the scrolling and the looking only at the exterior of someone?
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So you don't ever even feel compelled to connect on something more than just that.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, and you're a hot tamale.
Yeah,
so,
really.
I mean,
But it's not just, it's funny. While I was telling my best friend from high school how the date went, she said, I know exactly what you mean. She said, I have this other friend and he's single. And she said, don't worry, I'm not going to set you up with him. She said, but I'm trying to teach him when he shows me the text that he sends to women. She tries to explain to him, look, if this is a woman you've gone out with once, your text to her can't look like the text to your mother or to your next door neighbor or the person you work with. It's got to be specific. Hey, I had a really good time eating Chinese food. Next time, do you want to go eat Mexican?
Right.
Which is not something that you'd say to your buddy that you want to go to a football game with.
Right.
And I think there's a disconnect, but it's to the point where I'm like, how many more times do I want to straighten my hair and put on makeup to go out
and drive 30 miles?
And drive 30 miles to listen to a guy talk about himself. And at the end of the night, him tell me what a great time he has. And then me have to go do it again, you know?
Have you ever, I'm just thinking about my sister, Adelpha, who she's not married. She's in a relationship now, but for years there, she would meet guys. She had several relationships, but there always ended up being something, you know, just off, like something with the guy, you know, some emotional baggage or some, you know, just some hot messness there. And I know a lot of other women who are the same, who have found somebody they liked and had started a relationship, started dating. And then all of a sudden it's like things just fell apart because he was not able to be fully present in the relationship because of something, you know, I mean, the friends who dated guys that were doing drugs and had no idea, guys who had some things emotionally that they were dealing with. And, you know, now that I sit here and I think back, it's been very, maybe just a handful of my friends who've literally found somebody that was somewhat, I mean, everybody has, it's just like you said, everybody's got things, but not enough to really put a strain on the relationship.
I actually found somebody back in March, went out like 4 or 5 times, brought flowers to my house. We connected, and the ever elusive chemistry substances, you know, were there. I mean, we wanted to sit close to each other and we mm-hmm. wanted to touch each other, and we're on date number 5 and he's kissing me, and he tells me later on at a later date that he really enjoyed it. But this is after he said to me, he said, and I could tell that night that he kissed me and things got a little, mm-hmm. you know, touch and go. He turned himself off. I could tell that night he went from, oh, we have chemistry, things are going well, to pull on the reins for whatever mm-hmm. reason. And he disappeared. And a week later, he calls me and he says, hey, I have a great time with you. You're perfect. I love, you know, the things we laugh about. He laughs about my thrift storing and he mm-hmm. doesn't care that I rescue dogs. And he said, there's something that I just don't want to date anybody right now. And I said, okay, let me ask you this. In these 5 weeks that we've known each other, that we've gone out once a week, have I ever said, hey, when am I going to see you again? Or, hey, let's become exclusive. Right. Or, hey, are you still on Match or whatever? I said, have I ever said that to you? And he said, no. And I said, what makes you think that I want a commitment that every Saturday night I want to be with you? Because I've got the major introvert going on, and it's hard for me to have somebody relax on my sofa. That's my house. That's my private time. And I said, you know, if you just want to have somebody that we go out and we go to festivals and we drink beer together, you know, we went to some concerts together. We had a great time. I said, I'm always looking for a concert buddy. 6 months later, he's still in the picture. And I've kind of picked his brain about what was going on without letting him know mm-hmm. that I was picking his brain. Talked about his last relationship, and he was the one that called it off. So I can't figure out where the holdup is. But I think there's also so many things at this age that you don't tell other people.
Right.
Because you're so scared of how they're going to judge you and they're going to go back to swiping again.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean,
and the vulnerability piece. I mean, as soon as you open yourself up to someone, then you're also opening yourself up to be rejected.
Right, right.
And so some people, it is more worth it to them to stay exactly as they are and safe,
right,
than to make that leap to being the least bit vulnerable,
right,
and possibly being rejected.
Right.
On both sides.
Yeah.
But I think with men a little bit more. Well, I don't know. Women too, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think there's so many things going on in today's world with the social media and the vulnerability and the judging other people and what is going on online where somebody says, oh, I'm not seeing anybody else. And then you turn around and you find them online again for whatever reason. And, you know, I'm going to open up a bombshell here, but single people in their 50s are the highest growing STI population besides teenagers who are exploring oral sex, because most men have had a vasectomy. And there's so many STIs,
yes,
out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great TED talk by a girl who's 23 years old who actually stands up on the stage and says, how many of you have asthma? She waits for the audience to raise their hand. And then she says, how many of you have herpes? And a hush comes over the audience. But nobody realizes that 1 in 6 people carry the HSV virus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out there. And there's people that are spreading it without telling people. There's people that are telling people that they have it and then getting rejected when the person who rejected them has never even been tested.
Right.
There's so many things going on at this age when we're not aware of how rapidly they spread,
mm-hmm,
online, because they do.
No, I mean, I mean, that's a huge part of it as well. I mean, you know, I sit here and I listen. I think about people who, you know, try to find dates just who don't want to be committed, who want to play loosey goosey and just, you know, I mean, I'm sure that there are dating apps for just that type of thing, but who don't want to be in a committed relationship, but just want to go out and hook up and, you know, even if it's just a couple of dates or whatever. And as at our age, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're just so fearful of, you know, getting pregnant,
yes,
or,
yes,
even back then, you know, when you go to health class and they'd say, oh, be careful and wear condoms, and then you're in college. But at our age now, I think it's just like you said, you know, men are getting vasectomies. You know, we're past that. So women who are, you know, menopausal or whatever, right, who have had their tubes tied or whatever it is. And so there's that sort of loosey goosey feeling of, but what you said makes perfect sense.
Yep.
I mean, if you think about it, and you know, back when you're in your 20s, mid 20s, late 20s, there's a whole different mindset. So yeah, you know, you go to college and, you're in your early 20s and you're in your first job and you're dating around and you're, you know, you want to get married eventually, but you know, you're still, you know, out on the town and going to clubs however it is that you're meeting people. Your mindset is just a little bit different than now. It's almost as if you're sort of invincible and indestructible. And hey, I'm at this age and I can do whatever I want. You know, my kids are grown, or I've got out of that marriage or whatever it is. I'm going to go out there and see what's going on. And, I'm an adult now, I guess, if that makes sense. You know, you're an adult when you're in your 20s, but now it's just a whole different mindset of how people view, you know, dating other people. I mean, I'm not on that scene, but I know how I feel about how I used to view myself when I was in my 20s. And, you know, I said earlier, like if I were to get divorced or whatever, and I would have to go out and try to find a relationship if that's what I wanted, obviously I don't know how I would do the first step I would do. I'd probably sit at home most of the time, but, my view of life is so different, you know, now than it was. And so,
well, and I think too, part of the part of the, if you want to call it a problem, when you're in your 40s or your 50s, is especially if you've been married before, even if you haven't, you're bound to have been in some good relationships and some not so good relationships. You're super guarded. You know, when you're in your 20s and you're dating, you're searching for that person, or that your whole life is ahead of you with that person. But once you've been through the loss of a relationship, but even if you have children or those kinds of things, the fear and the protective factor is very different. So, I mean, the wall is definitely up.
Yes, the wall is up.
Yeah. And you're going to have to be really great
to break,
for me to even open the window.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because I'm not going back to that. I mean, I can speak about my husband now had a very, divorce was not something he ever wanted. I mean, he was crushed when his marriage fell, crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And the different legal things that happened after that were just, you know, he was so upfront and so honest. You know, Anissa, I don't even know that I ever even want a girlfriend. We're not even talking about anything else. He said, I don't even know. I like spending time with you. I think you're a great girl. We have a great time together. I love talking to you, but he says, I am damaged goods and I'm okay with that. I've got other things that I need to focus on and it cannot be you.
Right.
And he was super honest about that, at least. I think there's a lot of men out there that can't even be that honest about it. He was very, almost sometimes cruelly honest about it. And I, of course, was fresh out, so I was super desperate. So those two things together is really wonderful. which is why we dated for 5 years before we got married, because that's not a way to bond. And there's a lot of people out there who are bonding like that. And then they get married and they're divorced 6 months later or whatever. Right. We really took the time to go super slow and make sure that we could see the ugly sides of each other. And we're going to be, you know, like I said, would he and I would say, I know what your crazy is and I'm okay with your crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think for me, I've been on my own. I was, 39 when I got married the first time. So I've gone through everything, changes in my career, back to school. I'm very independent, you know, unless something happens to my plumbing, I can probably handle anything you throw my way by myself. Got married and it was nice to have somebody, you know, that made sure that oil was changed and things in the car, which I know nothing about. And then when we decided to break it off, now I'm back on my own again. And don't get me wrong. The first night I was alone in my house, I was like, and again, you noticed I said my house because it was my house. Yeah. His name was not on anything because his credit score was so horrible. And so sat on my sofa and was like, oh, my sofa, my house, it's mine again. And for 10 years, three of those of which I let somebody in, but I'm so used to, if I want to go out and watch a movie and take myself to a nice dinner, or if I want to go to Florida on a whim, or if I want to go adopt a dog, I don't have to ask anybody.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure I ever want to be in the point where I hear some of my friends say, well, let me ask my husband if I can do that. And I'm like,
I know.
Head turn. Really? Did you just say that?
Mm-hmm.
I get that you might want to check and make sure he doesn't have any plans for that night, but did you just say, if I can do that? I'm not sure I ever want to be back in that position again where I have to ask if I can do something. Yeah. So
you're, I get in trouble for that a lot because I don't ask. And he's like, were you not even going to tell me? And I'm like, oh.
I think that would probably be me,
sorry,
too.
Sorry. Yeah. I just, from being independent and, you know, single mom for all those years, I make all those decisions. Mm-hmm. So it's, I still catch myself even after 5 years going, hey, babe, I'm doing this weekend. And I realize that I did not inform you that I am so sorry that I did not inform you. But I don't ever say, I am so sorry I didn't ask you. I don't ever say that.
Do you think also that, you know, so both of you, Melissa and Anissa, but specifically Melissa, since you're still single, do you think that there's the factor of you can be very intimidating?
Like, I've never heard that before, Ellen. Never.
But, you know, to us who know you, it's very positive because, like you said, you're very independent. You're extremely intelligent. You're very much your own person.
And let's not forget that we all stand up on a stage half naked with a microphone on and tell people what to do and then ask for feedback.
Exactly. Right. So, and my sister's the same way. So my sister is extremely independent. You know, there have been moments, and I can remember over the years where we've said, well, Christy, if your expectations and the things that you want in a partner, if you would not be so stringent about it and open yourself up a little bit more, there may be a wider, and, you know, she's like, well, no, but this is what this, you know, I think that she's changed. I think she changed that a little bit. Because she was in exactly the same spot that you are, where she was, you know, she didn't want to get married. I mean, even now, I don't think she really wants to. She cares if they get married, but she wanted a companion, like somebody she could, and not five companions. Right. She'd like one person who she could go to dinner with or whatever. But she's extremely raw and authentic and independent and makes her own money and a lot of money, had her own house. And so we used to say, you know, you're so intimidating. Like, you know, men who approach you, even men who maybe like would like to have a little bit of a relationship, you know, you can be very her presence. And so I don't know how you feel about that. Like, you know, her response was, well, this is who I am. And if I want to meet somebody and spend time with somebody and eventually maybe date exclusively or possibly, you know, down the road, get married, then I don't want to compromise who I am and what I see in a partner. Even if it is to you, you know, things that you think I should loosen up about or things that you know, they've got to love me and want to be with me for who I am.
Right. Right. Like I said, I hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. I hear it from females all the time when we're having the dating discussion, and I hear it from males after the fact that you're a little intimidating. But let's face it, look at my life. Mm-hmm. I'm a college professor. I can't walk into the room and not own the room.
Right.
They're going to run all over me. I can't walk into a fitness convention and not act like I have the answers to 90% of what they want to know. That's just not me. Does that mean I need a stronger man? Absolutely.
Right.
Because here's the last thing I want is I don't want to have to walk into my house at the end of the night and now have to take care of a man after I've taken care of 300 college students and then 40, 50 people in a group fitness class and my mom. I need somebody who can take care of me. I need somebody who's going to step up and say, hey, did you have a bad day? You know, who is going to be the caretaker of me. And that's not what I'm finding. I'm finding men who now need me to listen to them. Again, went out on a couple of dates with a man who was a counselor. And we got along really well. And like on date number three, we're talking about what we want out of our relationship. And he said, well, I'm really looking for someone that, so because he counsels and does a lot of marriage counseling and sometimes abusive substances, addictions are involved. He said, I want somebody who can come home with me at the end of the night. And while I am counseling the male, she can have small group with the females. Okay, so I just went from a group fitness instructor and college students all day long to now walking into my house and leading a small group for women who are in a not so positive relationship.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When is my time?
Day after never.
I know. I was like, what?
He said that on date three?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Oh my Good luck, gosh, buddy.
I know.
But, you know, and I need somebody who'll, you know, it was funny. I was driving down here. It's raining outside. And in the middle of Georgia 400, figure this one out. There is a truck, a pickup truck, that has hit the median, spun around, and is abandoned in the two left-hand lanes, kind of in the third one, too.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's right around the corner. So we're all coming around the corner and slamming on the brakes and then trying to get over. So as I'm trying to get over, and I'm being real calm because I left really early to get here, this man comes flying up in a white pickup truck. And I thought, oh, my God, he doesn't realize what's going on. He's going to slam into this truck. He slams his brakes on, puts his truck in park, jumps out, runs to the truck, looks in the window, and I was like, I want to date that man.
I know.
Heck yeah. That's what I want. I want somebody who's the only one. Everybody else was just moving over.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knew that there was nobody in that truck, and he was not anywhere to be found. So after the man realizes that he's not down in the floorboard of his truck,
right,
he runs across traffic and starts looking in the woods on the side of Georgia 400.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I want that man. Forget that he's 20 years younger than me, you know?
Listen.
He does the right thing even when no one's looking, you know?
So I'm going to ask you this, and I'm just curious, and Anissa too. So what about dating younger men? Like, do you have a, I mean, do you think, oh no, you know, I want to look for this age to this age, or
define, you know, younger,
like, I don't know.
Well, like, do you mean 5 years younger or 15 years younger?
Yeah, right, because I've done the five. Yeah, I've done, like, the five.
I don't know. I mean, if you met somebody who was 15 years younger than you, and knowing what you know about, like, just, you know, being in the space that you are and meeting so many different people, you're a college professor, you teach fitness classes. So, you know, you've got a whole gamut of age ranges that you come into contact with, you know, on a daily basis. And just knowing, you know, physically and mentally and spiritually how 29-year-olds are can tend to be versus, you know, 49-year-olds.
So I'm 54. And online, there is someone who has approached me several times on several different sites, and he says he's 50. Well, not my first rodeo.
Right.
So I was like, no, really, how old are you? And he finally said, I'm 40, but I'm a policeman. I've seen a lot out there. I'm kind of like an old soul.
Right.
I like to date older women. I just have more in common with them. And so I think the thing that gets me is, am I ready to invest 5 years of dating for when now I'm 59 and he's 45 and now he decides that 35-year-olds look a lot better to him mm-hmm. than 55-year-olds do? Because let's face it, this is one thing that I don't want to say I'm ashamed to say it, but I think it owes some explanation. I have to date somebody who is fit and leads a healthy lifestyle.
Right. No.
What am I going to have in common with somebody who sits at a bar every night and orders burgers mm-hmm. and French fries? The 40-year-old is in excellent shape, but am I ready to invest years of dating just to have him go, oops, at 59, your boobs are a little more saggy now than mm-hmm. I thought they were going to be. So now I'm going back to the 35-year-old. So I think I always think in the future, do I want to start over again at right. 59 again when we run into the same problem, when that 59-year-old now is looking for a 35-year-old?
Right. And I get that, and that's legit, right? But what about, like, that spark that you just meet that person and he's – I mean, have you ever had any of those moments?
I'm married to him.
Yeah, like, you know, and I know maybe it's just
he's
in the movies or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you ever think, okay, I mean, I know it's not like you're going out there and looking for that person, but what if somebody came
along? But that
along?
Spark has to be there.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you have to believe in, what's the word I'm looking for? The things, not endorphins, but what are the things they say you put off that attracts you to another?
Pheromones.
Pheromones. Pheromones. You got to have those pheromones. And I did. I met somebody that was 3 or 4 years younger than I was, and the pheromones were flying, and we dated for a little while, and he's talking about me meeting his kids, and then I find out 8 months down the road that he's been online the whole time. And he's like, but I haven't gone out with anybody. I haven't met anybody. It doesn't matter. You were talking about me meeting your kids.
Right. But you kept the door open.
You kept the door open. So I just think there's got to be that maturity where somewhere around age 50, all of a sudden you realize you're not going to live much longer.
Mm-hmm.
You're at that halfway point, and you don't have time to waste on frivolous things.
Yeah.
And to me, that's frivolous. Mm-hmm. I want somebody who says, you know what? I'm going to take my profile down and let's see where it goes. Not promising you anything, but right now, let's just see where it goes. And you can't find that anymore because of the swiping. There's right. always somebody better underneath, even if their photos aren't up to date.
This has been so interesting.
This has been a really great conversation. And one that needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thank you for bringing this up because I think there's a lot of women out there who wouldn't have these discussions.
I actually think that Melissa should come in and we probably could bring in a couple other girls and talk about sex at our age as well.
Oh.
We've had a lot of people.
Don't know whether I can talk about that these days.
But especially from physiological and standpoint as well. Just we've had several people ask.
Yeah, especially about it. Yep, menopausal sex.
Yeah, and
things just change.
Just in general. We can get somebody who's a millennial and then get, you know.
Not my daughter. Ixnay on Anissa's daughter's coming to the sex episode. That's all I'm saying about
you
that.
You were nervous when she came in for
God,
the girls.
It was awful.
I know. Are we good?
Yes.
This was awesome.
So awesome.
Oh, okay. So here we go. You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. You can visit atlpn.com, AtlantaPodcastNetwork.com. We always screw that up. And on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and now on Spotify.
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show. Anissa Amison, Instagram's the best place to find me.
Ellen Nickel, ATLPodcastNetwork.com.
And ATL Melissa Lane. You can connect with Melissa Lane on Facebook, although she probably won't be your friend if she doesn't know you. But you can at least check out some of our
multiple friends.
There you go. If we're connected, then we can connect.
Yes. And I do want to remind our listeners out there. So Melissa is going to, she's going to become our resident health and fitness expert. So she'll come in and talk about an array of things. And so we're excited.
Yes. And we'd love
so
it.
Much.
Find us on social or even find Melissa and, you know, maybe start saying, hey, would you go on the podcast and talk about XYZ?
Such and such.
Give us some feedback.
Or check out my recipes.
Yes. Shout out to Brian, our engineer, for posting this week these amazing questions for the podcast to leave voicemails. So check out what he's got going on. But it's amazing. You have all those questions where people can actually come in and you're going to have podcasts where it's actually a
Q&A.
Yeah, voicemail, Q&A kind of thing. So that's really cool. So check out ATLPN. On our Atlanta Podcast Network on Instagram and
voicemail, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. And it was funny because while the whole time we were talking about this subject, Brian is like, because Brian probably has a whole. It would be interesting to get a male perspective. He has a whole. He too was divorced and has children and
Vanessa Fraction knocked him out of his
But there were years there. I remember. I remember.
He's like, Brian's sitting there thinking, I may have resembled some of Melissa's.
Didn't you start your whole podcast thing on sort of singles and, you know, dating in Atlanta? And it was interesting.
I think that's a necessity.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you, guys.
This was so much fun.
Thank you.
Yes.